All right. Jim Holloman is out of the hospital. Praise God about that. Stan Martin, they went in to do a bone marrow, and they went in and could not find bone marrow, so they had to go on this hip, and so they had to do the other one. I don't know what's going on right now, but you'd pray for him that God would certainly be with him. He's a pastor, only 40 or 41 years old, and you would really pray for him. He's a great guy, loves the Lord, and appreciate that. I bring greetings from the First Baptist Church of Cody, Wyoming. The church there wanted me to thank you for sending me down there to their pastor's funeral. And let me tell you something about a funeral. My father, my grandfather always said, and then my father always said, everything should stop for a funeral. You ought to at least pay respect to those family members that are left. And I know a lot about funerals because I worked at a funeral home and been a pastor for years. And after the funeral, it is customary for the pastor to go up to the family and shake their hands and just say a few words to them, condolences. And Tabor Barrick, the only son he had, his wife came up to me, and I had not really recognized her until the viewing, and she'd been in my camp for years, and she came up, put her arms around me, and says, "Pastor Shear, I've always loved you." And that's something. Boy, So I was able to minister to some of the family and good friends, and please pray for them. As some of you ladies know, it's a hard, hard thing. All right, let's stand and read God's Word. Revelation chapter 17. Chapter 17. I'm going to try to run fast on this, get through it, so I won't have to forget where I'm left off at. I did that once and scrambled around. Finally, I found my notes that I'd written on. And Revelation 17. By the way, we read several times thus far about the coming destruction of Babylon. Chapter 17 is all about the destruction. And we find that Babylon mentioned in chapter 17 represents all forms of false religion. And so when you're reading that, just kind of keep that in mind. And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, "Come hither, and I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication." So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-covered beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, "Mystery Babylon, the great, the mother of harlots, an abomination of the earth." And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. That word admiration does not when it's said like that, it means astonishment or great surprise. It has a great wonder. You know, we think of admiration, wow, that's really cool. But that's not what he's talking about. That. And the angel said unto me, "Wherefore didst thou marvel? And I will tell thee the mystery of the woman, of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the seven heads and the ten horns. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were written not in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. And here's the mind which hath wisdom. Seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. And there are seven kings, five are fallen, and one is, and another is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was and is not, even he is in the eighth, and is the seven, and goeth into perdition. And the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as king as 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. Hallelujah, glory to God, amen. For the Lord of lords and the King of kings, and they that are with him, are called and chosen and faithful. And he said unto me, the waters which thou sawest, where the whore sitteth, the people and the multitudes and the nations and tongues, and the ten horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore. Now look at their chain, just like that, all right? They shall hate the whore. And the ten horns, remember now the ten horns were the guys that hadn't got the power yet? And then they're going to get power just for a little bit. The waters that thou sawest, where the whore sitteth, and the people, the multitudes, and the nation tongue, verse 16, and the ten horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will. Isn't that interesting? And to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast until the word of God shall be fulfilled. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. Father, I pray tonight that you'd make this simple to us. Lord, you wrote it to the early church. You wrote it simply so men and women and children could understand it. You promised us, Lord, if we read the scripture, you'll give us a blessing. If we listen to it, we'll get a blessing. If we keep it, we'll get a blessing. Lord, I pray tonight that you'd bless our church. Help us, Lord, as we serve you. Thank you for loving us and caring for us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We have a place that we can call home, a place that we can win people to Christ and bring them to. And baptize them and have them join the church and serve you. Help us, Lord, to be out there looking for folks who need a home. And, Lord God, who need a Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. In Revelation chapter 17, verse 1, a bad woman in the Bible is invariably a symbol of false religion. The woman is the anti-bride of Christ. We have the anti-Christ. And this is the anti-bride of Christ. Now, those who claim salvation as a man-made religion compose this harlot, or what we call the anti-bride. She is called a whore because she is guilty of spiritual adultery. The word whore in this verse means a harlot or prostitute. It is associated with selling one's purity. Two things that are implied here. First, those who teach salvation by works. And secondly, those who change for spiritual service. Those who charge for spiritual service. You will notice she is sitting in many waters. Revelation chapter 17 and verse 4. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a cup full of her hand full of abomination, filthiness, and fornication. The woman is wealthy. The religion can afford purple and scarlet and gold, precious stones and pearls. Hence, she has had the prettiest building, most elaborate furnishings. She kind of reminds us of the church at Laodicea there in the first few chapters of Revelation. You search the Bible and you will inevitably find that God's people throughout the life are simple people, humble people who have not much, usually not much of the world's goods. But to a Christian, that is not the most important thing of life. There's a cup in her hand. Even though outwardly she is beautiful, the cup is full of abomination and filthiness. The religion is an abomination in the sight of God. God hates it. Listen to what he says in verse 5. And upon her forehead was written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and the abomination of the earth. So let's see about her name. First of all, she's called Babylon the Great. Babylon has, since Genesis chapter 11, always been a symbol of false religion. Babel. Babylon means confusion. Genesis chapter 10 and verse 11. Nimrod led the building of the tower of the city in order to unify false religions. It was called the Tower of Babel from the day until this. God has associated false religion with the term of Babylon or Babel. Even today, National Council of Churches and Federal Council of Churches and World Council of Churches are trying to build the Tower of Babel. Someone said, why do you think we have so many Bibles? Well, false religion is trying to get you a Bible that you can read and understand. The only way you can read this Bible is have the Holy Spirit guiding you through it. That's a promise of God. This is a living Bible. This is not just a comic book. This is not just a historical book. This is the living Word of God. And they have tried and tried and tried. They came out with, what was that one name of that one crazy Bible for the modern world? Good News for Modern Man. That was the funkiest thing you ever did see, amen? And they tried. Now they got one out that's no gender. They don't even call God gender. And so, it's incredible. Four things about the Tower of Babel. Number one, it was a man-made religion. Number two, it made a false unity. Number three, it was an earthly city as its center. Number four, it was an earthly representative from heaven. In other words, one man was over it. If you study the Roman Catholic Church, Catholicism, you'll find that the Pope will speak ex cathedra. And that means he is speaking like Jesus Christ. That becomes a law. There's no man that can do that. There's only one man whose name is Word, and that's Jesus Christ. He is the Word. The Mother of Harlots, the Roman Catholic Church, is the mother of the most great denominations. Child of one of those who is the body of its mother. Most of the dominations come out of the Roman Catholic Church. Child usually favors its mother, hence the children of Catholicism. Even the lady herself, such as sprinkling, centralized denomination leaders, baptizing infants, and so on, constantly. I was reading an article the other day on the Fox's Book of Martyrs, and it was telling about how that when Luther came nailed his 95 theses on the at the Worms, he went against what the church was teaching, but he still didn't come out of the church. And later, they had a group of people that did come out, but they were, we call them reformers. They reformed. They had reformed doctrine. In other words, what they did, they took a lot, kept a lot of the doctrines of the Roman Catholic Church. I hadn't ever been in a Lutheran church until, maybe I was 20, 25, and when I went to Lutheran church, how many were in a Lutheran church? How that the priest turns around and does the crucifix, and they're not much different. I've heard preachers say they're the backdoor Catholics. That's all they are. They're no different. They've just they want to tell you that it's the gift of God is not by works, lest any man should boast. That's what Luther said, you know. But they don't carry it any farther than that. And then the Methodist Church came out of that, and the Episcopal Church, and the Presbyterian Church, and all that. But let me tell you something. In the book I was reading, it reminded me of when I was in college. The Baptists have always been Baptists. We've always been dunkers. We've always been people that have been, I shouldn't say drunkards, I said dunkers, all right? And we've always been the ones who have not taken hold of that. We've always had our, we may not have always called Baptists. It was always John the Baptist, amen. But going through the Moravians and Armenians, and they come up through and they just kept going and going and going. Finally, they called them Baptists because that's what they did, amen. That was what they were killed. I read this thing that said there was like 30 million killed for the faith of Jesus Christ. And the church killed us. The Roman Catholic Church killed us. And you know, we don't hear too much about that. I remember when I was a kid, back in the 50s, boy, they used to pitch a fuss, and then John Kennedy was coming out. Oh, my goodness. That really raised the fervor of a lot of churches, you know, that their Catholic was going to be our president, you know. And that had never been before. But this is Roman Catholic Church. It's still pretty strong, very strong. And it's the granddaddy of them all. And they are, scripture teaches here. And here's some interesting things I'm going to tell you about here. These are all from the Roman Catholic Church. There was a day when there was only two religions. And one was Catholic, and the other was what? Christian. And the believer, true believers. Many children have come out from their mother, making other groups, and now it proceeds, it seems, returning to their mother. And someday, there will simply be, once again, the Federation in the body of Babylon, and then there will be the Bible believers. And you know the Bible, you read through Revelation, what's going to happen to those Bible believers? What are going to happen to them? They're going to be what? Huh? Well, they're going to be raptured, but there's still going to be some Bible believers here during the tribulation period. What's going to happen to them? They won't take the mark of the beast. They can't buy. They can't sell. Boy, just terrible things are going to happen. The Bible says this in verse 6, if you look very careful there. And I saw a woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. You remember that was great wonder, great surprise, astonishment. And you will notice that this religion is guilty of murder, cold-blooded murder. They burned a lot of our brothers and sisters in the stake, our mothers and dads at the stake, burned them. If they would not recant, they took one man, and I know they did a lot of this. They'd take him out to the river and tie him on a tiny amount of pole. And then they'd push him, put him down on the water until he's just about drowned. They'd bring him up and say, recant. Say you're wrong of being baptized. He wouldn't do it. Guess what happened to him? He died. She killed the saints. Throughout the centuries, the Roman Catholics have been killing true believers when she could get by with it. We were in Mexico with our teenagers. Any of you here went on that Mexican trip with us to Guerrero? And when we came into one certain town, and all of a sudden I seen the men. We were in a tent, and I seen men starting grouping around our tent. And I told Brother Collins, this doesn't look good. And we were showing the film called Burning Hell in Spanish, and I said, "Boy, I don't know what's going on, but I'll tell you what, I don't like it." And he says, "Boy, you're right, Brother Shearer." He said, "I'll tell you what we're going to do. You go around to all the kids, and I'm going to tell them immediately when we get done with this, you get on that bus, and we're rolling out of here." And come find out a week later, we found out they were going to stone our bus, and they were going to burn our bus, and they were going to capture us. And guess who put them up to? The Catholic priest. Catholic priest says, we don't want those Christians here. They're, he called them the same thing Muslims call us. What do they call us?
Infidels.
First she takes over the state and government, then forces herself in the state religion and persecutes others. Revelation chapter 17, verse 7, and the angel said unto me, wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and the beast that carrieth her, guess who's carrying her? Huh? The beast. Which has seven heads and ten horns. The beast that thou sawest and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and in perdition, and they will dwell on the earth, shall wonder whose names were not written in the book of the foundation of the world. And they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. So we know that, you remember we talked about how that the beast is going to be killed and he's going to raise again. What is it illustrating? Falsifying what Jesus Christ did. Amen. And the beast in this verse is the Antichrist, mentioned in chapter 13 of Revelation. And you will notice that he was and is not and yet shall be. Consequently, the Antichrist must be the one who lived but was dead at John's time but is going to be resurrected later. I don't understand it all. Did a lot of reading. They don't understand it all. But they said this is what the Bible says. So trust the Bible. Amen. You will notice that some were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. This would indicate that some have been in the book of life before the foundation of the world. What a blessing to think that before the world, the foundation was laid, our names were written in the book, in God's book. And you say, well, how can that be? Well, every society back in those days had a book of everyone that was born. And their name was written in that book. Some of them went to jail. And their name was removed. Some of them did great things. And their name was highlighted and sometimes gold-plated. And so we know that all of us know that one time we were born. God knows everything about everything. But our name is not listed in the book of life. And that's the one thing we want to get our name in. Amen. Revelation chapter 17, verse 9. And here is the mind that hath wisdom. The seven heads are the seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. Some say that's ecclesiastical Babylon, and the chapter has nothing to do with the religion of Rome. You will notice, however, that the seven heads represent the seven mountains, and if you would go to the head of the false religion, there are seven mountains in the city of Rome, and that's where the Roman Catholic Church is. That's kind of interesting. Some say that it represents the seven kingdoms and the seven kings and the rule in verse 10. Well, you can take it for what it want. I think it's my supposition. Okay, this is not law, but my supposition is I suppose it is Rome, because Rome has certainly for ages after ages after ages, since the 300s, been a very very terrible religion. And it's surprising how many people are really, you know, they're blinded by that stuff. And they think they're doing it. Boy, I've been around some good Catholic people. I mean, top of the line people. And boy, they're as serious as they come. But I'm going to tell you something. I've been serious about certain things, and it was wrong. Yesterday was a card. We got turned around in Cody. And my GPS says, turn left, go to Belfry Highway. And I told Terry, I said, I don't know. I said, oh, he said, we need to go down this way. And sure enough, and my thing kept going, Recalculating. And I told Terry, I said, Terry, there it is right there. Oh, yeah, he says, because we're heading out of town. We're going the other way. We're going to Yellowstone. And I said, Terry, I says, I've ridden with enough pilots, and pilots tell you, always trust your instruments. Don't trust your brains. Always trust your instruments. Don't trust your brain. Sure enough, thank God for the old recalculate, because it got me back on the right way. Amen. So, all right. The beast in verse 11 is the same Antichrist mentioned in verse 8. You will notice that he was meaning that he had lived. Then notice that he is not, meaning that he did not live during the time of John. On the eighth king, he is one of the seven, meaning that he is one of the previous seven kings, leading to believe in that Antichrist is one of the historical kings resurrected again. Satan can do that, folks. He can sure screw with my brain, amen? You screw with yours? Wow. Verse 12. And the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings which have received the no kingdom as yet, but receiveth power as kings 1 hour with the beast. That's not very long. These have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. And so now we have a confederation. The ten horns of the beast represent the ten kingdoms. The kingdom are composing, revive the Roman Empire. Parallel the teaching Daniel chapter 2 and verse 7. Chapters 2 and 7. And then we get to Revelation 17:14. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. And they that were with him are called and chosen and faithful. God always has his remnant, doesn't he? He always got somebody that loves him. Amen. These kings will make war with the Lamb. And the Lamb being Jesus, the Lamb will win the war. I remember I used to tell this to my boys. You want to fight? Go ahead, but I'm going to win. That's what Jesus says. You want to fight, boys? Go ahead, but I'm going to win. He's the King of kings. Thank God. We're on the winning side. Revelation chapter 17:15, and he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest, where the whore sitteth, are people and multitudes and nations and tongues. You will notice some are with him, that is, with the Lamb, those that are believers. When Jesus returns to the earth, he will conquer Antichrist and his enemies, and set up the kingdom of righteousness, and we will be with him forever. Thank God for that. When this war is over, Satan is going to be cast in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years, and we will be with the Lord. You and I, who sit in this auditorium tonight, will be rulers of this world. Somehow, Bethany, I just don't see it yet. They'll probably make you ruler over Black Eagle or something. Amen. Yeah, but that's it. That's what the Bible says. We're going to be rulers. And you know what? We are going to live everlasting. We'll have a new body. We'll have the mind of Christ. We will be able to judge people with just looking at them and hearing in their brain what they're thinking. Wouldn't that help you mamas out? He says he's going to rule with a rod of iron. A person is 100 years and older, and he openly defies Christ, off goes his head. No question. It goes off their head. Bethany don't like that. Amen. Revelation 17:16. And the ten horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall, listen now, these shall what? Verse 16, these shall what? Hate the whore. Now wait a minute. Didn't the beast say to the whore, hey, we're all on your side. We're going to do this together. Yes? Yeah. But they're going to turn on him. And they'll make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. An interesting thing happens here. You'll remember that the false religion was riding with the Antichrist in verse 3. They turn on her. But that just reminds us how fickle the world is. This world is fickle. You've seen it all the time. You see it all the time. Something good happens in our government and people just go crazy on the opposite way. It's the nuttiest thing I ever seen. They're fickle. The world is fickle that way. They have no loyalty. They only care for what they can get for themselves. That's all they care about. That's the world. What's best for me? That's what the world is. What's best for me? What I can get out of this thing. Well, what a difference Christianity can make in your life. Christianity, we're willing to die for others. We're willing to sacrifice so that others can have. What a difference. In this verse, the Antichrist and his 10 kings turn upon the mother of harlots, hate her, and destroy her. Now here's the destruction of false religion. Hallelujah, it's coming, amen. Revelation chapter 17:17, for God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will. Isn't that something? Whose hearts did he put in? The Antichrist? These rulers, these kings? God put it in their hearts. Hey, do you remember the scripture over there in Exodus where the Pharaoh's army? God said he put it in their heart to disobey, wouldn't do what he told him to do. So he could get the job done, amen. He put it in their heart. Just read it yesterday. He put it in their heart that they would ride hard after him through the Red Sea. What happened to him? Every one of them died. Every one. It said there was not one living. Listen to what it said. Fulfill his will. He put it in their hearts to fulfill his will. And to agree and to give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled. These are the last people that want to do what God says. But you can do all you want, but you're going to do what God says. Yes, you are. You like it or not, the Bible said every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is God. Amen. Revelation chapter 17:18, look at that. And the woman which thou sawest in that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. Hence the Antichrist will run his course only until God's word fulfilled. In other words, the kingdom of this world today are only fitting into God's master plan. Everything works together for good. God's willing it. Rulers and nations and Congress, Senate, I don't care how many peace pacts you make. Oh, yeah, hey. Kim Jong-un, whatever his name is. Oh, yeah, I won't do that right now. I'm not going to do any more testing. He's diabolical. We should have made a glass parking lot out of his country a long time ago, amen. But anyway, he starts shooting one of those missiles over here. It hits Chicago. It's possible. Hit Guam, possible. People are crazy. But I'm going to tell you something. Whether you like it or not, God's still in control. Aren't you glad about that? And what God will, he wills. What he won't, it won't happen. Rulers and nations do not change the course of human history. It is his story for history. They only fit into God's plan for the world. I'm glad you're still on. You know, I think of the other day. If it was me, I would have never let Brother Barrick die. I never let him die. If it was me, I would have 6 years ago, I never, ever let that happen to my wife. But I'm not God. And I have no need to doubt him now. He knows exactly what he's doing. Everything's on time. It's all going to fit his perfect timing. And you can say what you want, say what you will, but I will tell you something, God's still on the throne. And old Satan can't do a thing without him allowing him to do it. I was reading that this morning, Job. And God says, man, you may be. You taught me to give Job's life to you. But look at, he proved he's a good man. Thank God for men and women who are good men and women that stand the test of time. I was kind of jealous of Brother Jim the other day when he died. He's all done. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy. Enter into the rewards. I sat there at that funeral. I was listening, but I was thinking, just like you do when I'm preaching. You're thinking other things. You're chasing rabbits and possums and whatever, riding motorcycles or shooting your gun or whatever. I was sitting there listening to him. I thought, Jim hurts no more. He doesn't have clear over to, what was the name of that? Watiksi? What's the name of the town? They won 3 championships. All the football players came in their uniforms. He coached a public school, 6-man football. Watiksi? It's Indian school. But I thought, no more getting up, driving clear over there early in the morning, yelling and screaming at them crazy football players. No more worrying who's going to win. No more worrying about the kid that got hurt and see if he's going to play by Friday. He has a Christian school. No more worried about, are they going to make enough money to pay the teachers? No more worried about if the church is going to keep going and there's going to be enough money to pay all the salaries and make sure the lights are on and grass is mowed. And I sat there and I kind of envied him a little bit. And then I thought, God has put me here to keep going and work as hard as I can and do everything I can to serve the Lord with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength, with all my might. And I hope to God that's the way you are. Bethany, when you go to Hiles Anderson, you get everything you can. Everything you can. Now bring them back. Marry a guy and bring him back here, and he's got to stay here at Heritage Baptist. Amen. We're supposed to do that. Don't leave him. Rick did right. He brought the girl here. Amen. But get busy. Do everything you can, Bethany. Get everything you can. Listen to everything. Write everything down. Just remember it. Remember it. Remember it. Amen. Some of your parents, teach your children as much as you can right now, because one of these days they're going to be gone. And boy, we need to be faithful. Faithful in the little things. Faithful in the little things. Little things. Things that you may not think are important. They're important. Oh, Father, thank you.